Hello, everyone. Zendel podcast number 52. Today we'll be doing a reaction to Digging in the Sand episode 2. And with a little bit of commentary mixed in. Disclaimer is that I do not represent the Sandbox game or the Sandbox Foundation. I'm not your financial or legal advisor, and nothing I say is to be taken as financial or legal advice. When I say the word SIP, I mean Sandbox Improvement Proposal. When I say the word DAO, I mean Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And when I use the word SANFAM, I'm talking about the Sandbox community, those who participate in the people, products, and purpose of the Sandbox ecosystem. That ecosystem looks a little bit like this. There's people, everyone from gamers to the Sandbox team, to product, from the game client all the way down to the DAO, and the purpose, which is described in the white paper, and frequently talked about by Sébastien Bourget, Arthur Madrid, and Yatsu, who are some of the key leaders in the Sandbox ecosystem, Yatsu being chairman of the Animoca Brands. That all together equals that ecosystem, and today's episode is talking about the DAO and an episode by one of the Sandbox teammates. For the scoreboard, there are two developments. There are two SIPs right now, SIP number 19 and an as yet unannounced SIP. SIP 19 is for the Sandel podcast, which is what you're listening to right now. It's on draft for another week before it goes to voting. And the other one is a team selection for the user-generated platform development, where there are two proposals that we can select from. There are two SIPs right now open for voting, SIP number 16. And SIP number 17. 16 is one of mine, inserting an in-game inventory filter for equipment. And then SIP number 17 is a new horror game. It's looks like a episode number 2 for animation and an experience. For the SIP checkbook, we're still at 15% of our $15.5 million budget having been spent. And still 211,000 token holders. With 2,000 voters having casted almost 10,000 votes across 15 proposals. My name is Lanzer. I am the podcast host for Sandel Podcast, also president of the Metaworlds Group. And we currently have two experiences. I'm a landowner and a avatar owner and DAO participant. So a little bit of a recap. So the DAO was announced May 28th, and there were immediately some SIPs, a bunch of AMAs that happened to include Mia Bao and Seb. And here's some episodes that I did on these things. Sandbox Game hosted an AMA about the ambassador program, and about October 14th, DAO admin team announced the new communications manager, Bobby Kunta. Then November 17th, so about a month later, the first Digging in the Sand podcast episode released, which is the official podcast of the Sandbox DAO, and it was a discussion with Cyril about the survey results, and as well as some rationale and some accounting of the early days of the Sandbox DAO. The second Digging in the Sand episode came about a little over 10 days ago. And this was an extended discussion with Cyril about progressive decentralization. The third one released today, I'll do a reaction video, although it's more about the introduction of the official DAO delegates, of which I've interviewed 10 of the 12. Check out episodes 40 through 58. Today we're going to be doing that second episode there about progressive decentralization. Speaking of which, if you have not subscribed yet to Digging in the Sand with Kunta, please do so now. So go to the YouTube page over here, click that subscribe button, and then you can see all of the videos that are currently released. And most of them, some of them are call to actions, some are his introduction, delegated voting power, and then his episodes. So some context in the previous episode 50, where I did a reaction video to the first episode, I did the context here from the October 7th Medium article, which covered in episode 33, Birth of the Sandbox DAO, which covered episode 31, then the introduction of Kunta as the communications manager, episode 32, the new SIP submission process, which is episode 35, and then Digging the Sam, episode 1, which is episode 50, Sandow 50. So check those out for some context for today, and we're going to get right into episode 2, which was called Progressive Decentralization and the SIP Process.
All right, Sam fam, what's up? We're going to jump right into the fun with this one. Welcome to episode 1 of the official Sandbox DAO podcast. I'm your host, Bob.
Oh, that's episode 1. Let's move to episode 2. There it is.
All right, Sam fam, what's up? Bobby Kunta here, your host at Digging in the Sand, and we're going to dig in it again right now. I got Sarah with me again. We left off episode 1, digging through community concerns from the community poll that we took 371 participants. Felt a little rushed there at the end, so like we promised you, we're going to jump back in and try and give a little bit more air to these topics. That it's what it deserves. Again, it might feel like we're not digging into everything or answering the questions you might have. If you've got additional questions or concerns, we're totally here for everybody. So drop the comments, drop the questions in the comments, hit us up on the forums, wherever you guys know how to reach us. So with that, we'll just jump right into it. I mean, the next 3 bullets, we're not even going to try and tackle everything. I think we're going to do another recording for you guys here too in the next week or two to dig through more of these concerns. But we want to give everything the air it deserves. So right now, the next 3 bullets are just progressive decentralization in general. People have brought up that phrase in a lot of ways and have various levels of, I don't know, distaste or concern or questions about it. So we want to address those. The SIP process in general and the influence that the DAO admin team has over the advancement of SIPs. And the bullet that came out of at least a half dozen comments on the poll, and that we've seen also on our admin side, which is just everybody just wants money, which was actually one of the quotes from the poll. And it's a very real concern that we've got to address and tie into these 3 bullets together. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Cyril, and we're just going to have a little bit of a back and forth, candid, unplanned conversation here about these topics. And here we go. I mean, what do you think?
All right. How's it going, Bobby?
Player experience. I'm less supportive of...
I'm really, really happy to see that they're doing this unplanned. I think there's a level of authenticity, credibility, and just straight transparency that results from something like that, where they're unplanned. They're not necessarily doing it off the cuff, but they are prepared to know what they're talking about, even if they don't know how they're going to talk about it yet. I think that's great. That's the first episode they did really gave some needed insight into transparency, the progressive decentralization, the SIP process, the things that they were thinking about how the DAO was formed, the preparation that went into it. Cyril really, I think, showed himself as our DAO admin. Speaking as a DAO admin, I felt that he was speaking to me, to the community, to SandFam. And it didn't feel like a press tour, it didn't feel like a prepared speech where it is a close format. So just like here, it's just a pre-recorded conversation between the two of them, but it did feel real. It did feel like he was our DAO admin speaking to us. And I really liked that. Thought that was awesome. So let's continue.
We're happy to be here for episode 2. Right, like you said, let's tackle some of these hard questions and let's hope provide some good answers to them or something that will help reach a common understanding. So the first one on your list was progressive decentralization. There was an article that was published some weeks, a month ago by The Sandbox. And basically this was a declaration of intent or a reminder to the overall strategy about the DAO. And basically, if I were to summarize the article for listeners that haven't got the chance to read it all, it was basically highlighting, what's our strategy? Like, why are we doing things the way we're doing things? Like, why, for example, the admin team has such a quote-unquote heavy hands on curation? And why these SIPs are categorized the way they are categorized? Like, what was our intent?
And I myself saw that early days because I submitted 6 SIPs to them in the old process, not the new one where you have to be invited. But I submitted 6 in the old process, and that curation was extensive. Like I said, my first SIP went to vote a month ago. So it took, 6-7 months for my first SIP to go. My second SIP is in voting right now, so that's 7 months now. And then Sandow Podcast just cleared admin reviews. It's in public comment now, so that took about 7 months as well. So there was extensive back and forth that I did with DAO admin team on everything from the price to the risks make sense or the milestones. You really had to come to an agreement with the DAO admin team for it to reach the light of day. And where my SIP, my Sandow podcast SIP, for instance, was originally 60 episodes. and it was much higher. Now they negotiated me down to 15 episodes for about $15,000, so about $1,000 an episode. And so their rationale was, they had a lot of rationale for it being a trial run, wanting to tie it to visibility and value added metrics, that sort of stuff. So 15 was the number that they ended up asking me to come down to. And so that took as long as it did from when I submitted my first SIP, I think in late May to now.
And what is the type of SIPs we encourage versus the one that maybe we don't feel are necessarily aligned with the vision of the DAO or the vision of the sandbox had for this DAO? There was quite a lot of feedback, and I think most of the comments were more about the autonomous part of the DAO, the A in DAO. Mm-hmm. It's not entirely an autonomous endeavor, but we're getting there. And the idea behind that is, much like when you're learning, you know, how to walk as a kid, you always have an adult next to you that is holding your hands, or when you learn how to bike. And that's kind of the idea, is the hand-holding is a necessary step that we think is going to take us towards, you know, a better a quality of SIPs going forward. And I'm not saying the SIPs we've got so far are as of low quality. What I'm saying is we want the first SIPs to be the beacon, to be the benchmark for all of them future SIPs to come. So by having the admin team that is like heavily involved in the creation process, you know, challenging the author, making sure the SIP is compliant, you know, negotiating prices and et cetera, et cetera. The idea behind that is to set up a benchmark. Okay, this is the type of SIPs, because that's a natural incline that what people do. Like in 1 year, 2 years from now, when people will try to write a SIP, they will look at the SIPs that were successful, the one that have been voted yes, you know, has been received very well by the community. And I want, when people look back at those SIPs, I want them to see SIPs that are actually like well documented, well written, so they know, okay, if I duplicate that, maybe I have a better chance at success. So that's the idea, right? And that's also our idea to be, you know, to make sure we align with the vision of the sandbox, which is a bit different from the other DAO that we saw. This is not necessarily a DAO that is here to finance all of the dreams. The SIPs has to be about the sandbox or the sandbox ecosystem, right? It has to fit into that that narrative. It cannot be about, you know, let's open a donut shop and sell you know, whatever.
I think here he's commenting on how, like, ApeCoin DAO, for instance, its first tweet out to everyone was, "We're here to fund the business ambitions of the ApeCoin holders." And so some of them funded things like a donut shop or a tea, like they funded a tea shop. And Cyril here is saying that that's actually not what we're here for. We're here to fund the things that add value to the sandbox ecosystem. And again, that ecosystem looks a little bit like this, where you've got either it's benefiting the people, the products that there are, the game client, box edit, game maker, market, or the DAO, or the purpose, which is to be the cultural capital of the metaverse or to empower creators, and that ecosystem making everything go round. Well, what he's saying is that it has to be connected to those things. And another thing he mentioned was that the hand-holding thing, where as a parent, you teach your child what to do. And What that immediately reminded me of is the admin, when Mia Bao did her AMA with Seb in August. There, I covered this already in episode number 19, but I'm gonna just do a few seconds here of where Seb says that in his AMA with Mia Bao back in August.
Like, activated everybody within the community. Also, there's a question that, because like the core team is pushing some of the direction directly, and also the community is doing some similar stuff probably at the same time. So how do you balance the work between the core team and also the community? And also, I've noticed there's some
balance between the community
coming from part of the core team, right? So does all of these kind of like operational activities actually push into the DAO and get approved and get some of the budget? They are not getting the budget from the core team directly. How does this thing kind of get balanced eventually?
Well, I believe, like, generally speaking, I always believe like in the greater good, like your mission, if you're committed to like drive positive impact, if you're committed to show that creator can actually make a revenue on the platform and share those stories, if we've been able through the journey of Sandbox of many years to drive like new job, new possibility for people to earn, etc. Like good things spread out, and they spread out not just because they get very viral, but because like you want to recommend something that has done a good impact on yourself to other people. So I believe again in that notion of greater good, and like if we show like we've done until now the cap, the direction in a centralized manner, and progressively we've been educating our community to about that, and we hand over that power to that community. Hopefully,
here goes here.
Like just like a child that you've been educating as a parent, they would have acquired certain values, they would have acquired certain concepts, and hopefully they will also carry those by themselves because of that education.
So there, that's a very similar way that Seb spoke about just now with Mia back in August, and Cyril says something similar now as he describes when he's approaching progressive decentralization. You're approaching it from someone who is trying to teach the community the way that they would like us to go when we're handed the reins fully, or in some ways fully, and that for Seb, he hopes that we will continue. And for Cyril, he's trying to demonstrate, here's the Sprite SIP that we're looking for you to do, and then here are the different actions that we're hoping that you'll perform and continue on. So, very similar analogy there.
Has to be something about the game, and the closer it is to the game client, to the game maker, the Vox edit, you know, the closer it is to those topics, the better it will be. So that's the idea, and that's, I think, what was behind our thinking when we've designed the categories of budget that we also remind in the article. Like, the article make a point to remind the reader, okay, we've got platform, we've got, you know, sandbox for good, et cetera, et cetera. We have all of these categories, and this is what they're here for. So normally, every SIP should naturally adhere to those categories. And if your SIP does not fall under one of these categories, it means, potentially, this is not a sandbox DAO SIP. This is not a sandbox DAO idea, because these categories are supposed to be broad enough and capture the type of SIPs that are wanted by the sandbox. And I think that's an important point. The article also make a difference between DAO-centric SIP and sandbox-centric SIP, which I think is also an important point, because we've seen a lot of suggestions on how to make a better DAO. And frankly, that's awesome. I love it. But that's exactly what we're trying to do as an admin too. We're trying to have a better DAO. We're trying to, you know, connect to these API, have a better way to capture, to monitor our KPIs, capture feedback, make sure we are transparent. We make sure the SIP process, you know, in terms of milestone being paid, et cetera, is captured in a way that is more transparent to the community. And the idea with, I think what this section of the article was saying is that there's no necessarily a SIP that is required for that. You can just make a suggestion to the admin team, which is here to better the DAO and its mechanics.
This is where I still disagree with Sierra on this, because it puts, I don't think the DAO admin team are the only ones who have or should have the power to suggest DAO-centric things. Here he's saying that you don't have to do a SIP for it, meaning don't do a SIP for it. Because we can submit a SIP for anything we like, but not everything will become a SIP. And he's saying we don't want that because we can use the operations budget that were already approved in SIPs, SIP number 2 or 3, I believe, that approved the DAO admin team to use the operations budget. And you can just submit it in the forum. That forum being over here. So the way we found it was under here, DAO features request. So you go to this DAO features request, and then like you can already see me here, I put something there. And then there was another one somewhere where I recommended, asked for them to have a mobile version, and then they end up implementing it through Discourse on the mobile app. So that worked out well. I didn't have to do a SIP for that. Maybe I'll find it here. No, not there. It's somewhere around here. But I didn't have to do a SIP. And he's saying you don't have to do a SIP either. However, the big asterisk is that suggestion box can go right into a shredder. And a SIP goes to a community vote. So different type of shredder if the community rejects it versus it going into the forum and you're not really sure if it's being given its fair consideration by the DAO admin team, or the DAO admin team just says, no, I don't think we should really do that. A SIP compels the SANFAM to vote on it, to acknowledge it, whereas the suggestion box can be disregarded. And it's kind of like the power of control that that we're looking at here. So I disagree with Cyril in that I don't believe that the DAO admin team should be the only way that you do DAO-centric things. That said, I think he's going a really long way, a really good way here to explain his reasoning. Before I was suspicious, just the way that our article was read, and the article that we're talking about here is the DAO, the new SIP process and the decentralization. It was, where is it? Here, the Medium article. I did episode 33. Paragraph reads, that said, we've heard the community's feedback and understand. So I've shown that one a few different times. And it was the Medium article about progressive decentralization. And I had a lot of questions. I was very intense in my questioning there. And that was because there was so little information except a one way, here's how it's going to be. And I'm saying, why is it supposed to be like that? It seems like you all are exercising too much aggressive power there. And there doesn't seem to be a way for the community to check you on your power and counter anything that it feels is abusive or offensive or overbearing or excessive. There just wasn't a way for the community to deal with that. And there still isn't. However, the way that Cyril is explaining his rationale here is a lot more. I get it a lot more now. Even though I still don't fully agree, I feel less concerned that we don't have that power. And he seems to, he drops these hints every now and again that it's not, we're going to iterate. We're going to give more power. Just like a parent teaching a child, we're trying to teach the community how we want it to be. So I have confidence that it's going to improve in the way the community can exercise its own power. Maybe one day even propose its own DAO-centric SIPs. Yeah, so I feel less concerned about it than I did when I did episode 33. So yeah, that's good.
It should be focused about bettering the sandbox game, the sandbox, you know, platform.
There's also an article published maybe about a month ago as well for SIP submission guidelines and just updating that, which also clarifies this whole process.
I noticed that in the new SIP guidelines as of today, I think they made some of the suggestions that I asked for in SIP number 35, or episode number 35, so Sandow 35, when I covered the new
little stuff like that. It's cool.
The new, what am I trying to say? The new SIP guidelines. And so, yeah, the, like, SIPs number 0 through 8, they change it to 1 through 8. So I thought that was really helpful. It makes a lot more sense now. Whereas before, when it first showed up, there were some things that didn't make as much sense. It seemed like it made the process harder and more complicated and that sort of thing. So I can see them iterating. I can see them doing better and better. Like here is the, I could see them doing just a lot more. And so that was episode number 35. Yeah, so this one here. Yeah. And in the beginning, the portions, I was going over the new SIP process, which was an 8-step process, but on the website, it only showed like 4 or 5 steps. But when you actually sounded it out and wrote it down, it was 8 steps. So you had this, like this right here, a changing of the old way from May to the new way, where it went from 5 steps, 8 steps. So it got a little bit more complex. And I went through here on episode 35 exactly how that went down. But then when you go to the website that first time, you can see there's the categories. What I'm looking for is in the very beginning. What, somewhere in here, I show the steps at the very top. But now it looks a lot different. And it looks really good. So let's take a look. Sandboxdao.com. And then you go to up here in proposals, submission guidelines, and then there it is. Step one, you submit an idea to the SIP idea. Excellent. There's the link right there. So anyone can see it now. Then step two, your idea receives interest. The DAO admin team invites you to submit your SIP. That's so much clearer. That is so much clearer. Step three, submit your SIP by filling the form. Step four, the DAO team will review it, help articulate the SIP in a shared document, leaving comments. So then there's the review. Then step five, the DAO, the council issues a recommendation. Step six, you refine your SIP. So you're doing two admin reviews, basically, step six and step four, which is more complicated than the old process, but this is clear. This is very clear what the process is. And here's the categories, different SIPs. I went over this in episode 35. It was a long one. That's because that's how long it took to get through all of these things. All of this. I see them iterating, though. I see them improving.
So just for the listeners out there who might not understand what we're talking about, are we referring to juice boxes or what? Maybe you're new to the DAO, but a SIP is a sandbox improvement proposal. And that's the way that community members in the DAO can advance an idea to improve the sandbox gaming ecosystem. And what Cyril's referring to is we want game-centric or TSB-centric SIPs, not DAO-centric, that the DAO admin team can, in fact, just use the operational budget to make improvements or to make quick changes to get things done. So, we encourage community feedback in regards to that.
I like that they can do that. I disagree that they should be the only ones with the power to do DAO-centric things. The only ones with the power to implement, because we can just submit things and they can disregard it. Whereas with a SIP, a lot harder to disregard.
Just a DM or a comment on the board instead of a SIP can sometimes make...
I do understand where they're going with it, though. I get it.
Quicker and more effective change. Mm-hmm. Just to speak to what you said right there, we want as little curation required as possible. So the reason progressive decentralization and the SIP process are getting lumped together here is because we don't want to have that heavy hand that Cyril referred to. We want the SIPs to be coming in the way that they should be and require a little curation or handholding that he mentioned. So that's one of the kinds of benchmarks that we're looking at for what progressive could mean, right? Others could include things like quorum being consistently met. That was a problem, and we don't want to, that can't be a part of any DAO that's going to be sustainable. So to that end, we just implemented delegation. We've got high hopes for it. It should look pretty good. We've got 12 verified delegates now, each with over 2 million voting power. So we should be making moves to get quorum all the time, but that needs to be consistent. So we've got to look at that. Other things are just having a framework that's really in place and functioning healthy for how this is happening. So that's just the processes to make things work. A self-governing community with kind of inclusive, responsive, and responsible leaders that kind of step up. And to that end, including more of the community is also a comment that we've heard consistently in the community poll, which is, again, what this episode is trying to speak back to. So to that end, I'm just going to give a little, not a leak, but a little hype mode here, is that we are working on a way that we think is going to be really well received by the community to bring in more people into leadership kind of roles to represent the community. So stay tuned for that in December. I think everybody's going to receive that really well. I want to tie this last bullet in there. So far, our discussion is really focused on progressive decentralization, the influence of the DAO admin team in the SIP process, and how that kind of has not been as well received by the community as possible. But the other bullet in there is everybody just wants money. This idea of everything being extractive is something that we've seen in other DAOs in preparing for what we're doing here, and just in, just spend some time on spaces and you'll hear what's going on in other DAOs. And from the background here is the admin team. We've seen the SIPs that are proposed and see that people are seeing a big pot of money in front of them and maybe asking for more than is needed. The community also sees that, and it's been a consistent comment on the poll, as that's, that's a quote right out of the poll. Everybody just wants money. So for that extractive community principle to kind of shift towards something that's building is important. It's hard to put a metric on, but we all
feel. Definitely. And I think it's back to our point about the progressive decentralization and the role of the admin team. Like, if you see consistently SIPs that are within a certain bracket being approved, and SIPs that are over another bracket being like more challenged, more difficult to pass, like, because obviously if you ask for $500,000, the committee is going to be like, you better deliver, and we better understand what you're trying to do here, otherwise I'm not going to vote for you, right? But if you ask for maybe $5,000, it's an easier conversation. It's natural.
My experience right now, though, is that even a SIP that is low dollar figure but either runs afoul of certain DAO admin team perspectives, it's still difficult to get through. Like my Sandow podcast, I think I submitted that thing 4, 5, 6 months ago, but early feedback was, well, we have another podcast that we want to do, and we're not sure we want to fund you. And I persisted, like, well, even if you have a podcast that you're going to do, It's not here yet. Mine is. And I think that was like episode 7 or think when I started that. I'm at episode 52 now, and it's about to go to vote. And so it was still really difficult, a lot back and forth. I had to change a lot of things about the SIP in order to get it to compromise with the DAO admin team. So a lot harder than some of my other SIPs, which still had quite a bit of discussion, but ultimately 5-6 months later, now we're going to vote. So it doesn't feel like even my $0 SIPs are easier to pass. They all feel equally difficult. Difficult maybe is the wrong strong word. They all feel equally challenged by the DAO admin team. And maybe that's by design. If so, okay. Now that I can start to see the rationale behind Cyril's point of view, I feel a lot better about it. But back then I didn't have a lot of access or communication with why they were doing what they were doing. They were just doing it. They were saying, oh, it needs to be like this. It needs to be like that. We don't want that. And I'm like, well, but this should be going to the community for a vote. And we just, in some ways, we were at an impasse. So I was challenged quite a bit. And I feel like maybe that was just the early growing pains between myself and the DAO admin team. The DAO admin team trying to figure out how it wants to challenge SIPs. And then for me, just learning how to propose a SIP that the DAO admin team believes is beneficial to the community. And I think that's just kind of learning to be a community. And I submitted 6 of them. So I had a lot of them that were submitted. So while I might disagree with Cyril on the DAO-centric thing, I am beginning to understand a little bit more, and I'm less concerned about them challenging my SIPs to the degree that they had. They did challenge them a lot. So I feel better about it now, especially that I hear Cyril explaining his rationale. What is he aiming for here?
Right. So we're trying to find that sweet spot of, you know, being like for a SIP to be big enough to be meaningful, but also not to deplete the entire treasury of the DAO in one or two SIPs that could be also meaningful, but also so big that there's no room for everybody else. So there's always this back and forth, this kind of a tug of war between, okay, there's an author that has a lot of ambition, but also we have to make sure there's room for everybody, right? Because everybody has idea, not everybody has the chance to formulate that idea through a SIP yet. So we need to make sure we can last with our budget for the whole year, right? And this was one of the ideas behind that. And I think something you said also about the new guidelines that was published. There's also an element of, you know, guiding the user more and more by, now it used to be a template with an email address, right? And it was a bit disorganized because some people will write directly to us using the email. Some people will post on the forum. Some people were trying to get a SIP done directly. Some people will go through Seb or through me directly. It was a mess. And so now we're trying to bring in to have like a one single funnel. Like if you work on
it felt like a mess. It felt like they were overwhelmed, and I think maybe they learned from that. So I only did mine via email. The only time that I ever went outside of that was by Google Doc, I mean, and email. I think I might have emailed Cyril once about one of my podcasts or one of my SIP ideas. I think about the Sandow podcast when I first got the feedback that they didn't want to fund it because they planned on a podcast. And I think I emailed Cyril and said, hey man, this shouldn't just be up to you all telling me that you can't fund my SIP. Like my podcast is going right now. And eventually I think he did listen to that, and now it's going to vote. So clearly something happened there. And I was grateful that that we found a compromise between myself and them on that. But it felt like a mess because I would send comments. They would then post comments on the Google Doc, and then we'd go back and forth, but there'd be like long stretches. It would be, I would send comments, then there would be a week, then they'd send something. And then that same day or the next day, I would send comments back, and then another week. And it seemed like they were overwhelmed. Now I understand, okay, it wasn't just email. People were trying to work with Seb directly, and Seb was trying to work with Cyril to get a SIP in. That's exactly what it felt like, too, seeing some of the other SIPs, like the Sandbox Ambassador SIP or the maybe the blockchain, like some of the really the the blockchain events where some of the studios who were who've been a part of the sandbox for a long time probably was working through Seb and through the their contacts at the sandbox game, because they have project managers, like account managers for them. So I can see how, like, there's many different ways that Cyril and the DAO admin team were getting hit for these SIPs. And it felt disorganized. And now they moved to a type form. And the type form seems, I mean, it's a type form, so it'll go straight to whoever you hit the send button. And yeah, so he's about to talk about the funnel.
E-commerce is like an acquisition funnel. You have one funnel and you go in there on the forum, you test your idea, and we look at it and how we see, we're trying to assess whether the community likes your idea, which is a conversation in itself, you know, how we do that. And then we invite you to write a SIP. And there's always one way to do a SIP. And when we invite you to do a SIP, you'll be guided through a series of questions. So even without the...
And I went over that, which was Sandow podcast number 35. So we go over those questions at the end there, where we do the interview process or the rehearsal of the actual type form. I go through all of the questions here, and you can see what is that's being asked. That's Sandow 35.
The intervention yet of the admin team and the project management team in charge of SIP curation. Like, all of these questionnaires, and I think there's like 20 or 25 questions in there, is already in itself guiding the hand of the author, making that, you know, education piece. This is what we think a good SIP looks like, and this is the question you should ask yourself, and that's why we ask you those questions right now in the questionnaire, in the type form. And the second point was also about efficiency on our end. Like, receiving SIPs from multiple entry point was making it hard for us to keep track on all of them. And now with this whole process, it goes into database directly. You know, it's much more easy to search through it. You know, we also streamline the way
we handle
those SIPs, which eventually will mean more SIPs gets processed per minute. We're not per minute yet, but you know what I mean? Like, our cadence increase, which is the whole idea, right?
That's great. That is the whole idea. I'm happy to hear that Cyril is very aware of that, and that's what he's aiming for.
Yep. Efficiency and effectiveness. So yeah. Those have been noticeably hard to achieve in a lot of DAO experiments. I like that we keep coming back to the word experiment, because it always feels like a grand experiment of just trying to do this right. So as far as DAO admin team goes, I'm going to make a little step back and say to the community here, I think we're probably the most transparent and vocal with our faces out in front and of any DAO that I've seen out there. So
I might disagree with Kunta on that one. There are DAOs that have published their entire roadmap, their entire organizational structure. Ankless DAO comes to mind, now called Black Flag DAO. I did a podcast episode with them, I think episode number 47, Sandow 48, 47. And ApeCoin DAO publishes who all of their foundation people are. A lot of different DAOs are transparent in different ways. I wouldn't say that our DAO is the most transparent. Now that we're at episode number 2 for Digging in the Sand, we are a lot more transparent than I've seen up until now. The big thing that I noticed that we've done that I haven't seen of other DAOs is SIP 1 or 2 published the DAO constitution and the DAO foundation articles of association, the memorandum of association. I have not seen another DAO do that. So let's take a look. It was DAO Sandow. Dang it. Tripping all over myself. It is SIP number, I think it was SIP number 1. Right at the very bottom here, there's the elections. There, and the appendices, the constitution. So you get to see the constitution, also called the bylaws. And for SIP number 2 and 3, you got to see the actual foundation articles of association and the memorandum of association. So here they are right here. I'm going to be doing a podcast episode on them soon. I'm about 50% of the way through my analysis of all of this. But I haven't seen another DAO release these. This is the first one I've seen who have released this. That's pretty cool. But other than that, we didn't really know who the key players were. We didn't know who was even part of the admin team. And nor the foundation. The SIP number two did say it. The foundation is chaired by Michael Robinson. Don't know who he is. I don't have a LinkedIn for him. I've been able to find out really exactly who he is. But apparently he's very important in the process. So it's kind of unclear how everything fits together as of right now. And up until digging the sand with Kunta and hearing Cyril's thoughts, very unclear how everything was structured, how everything was going together. So in the past, I'd say 3-4 weeks that the transparency really started with episode number one here, November 17th, we were not as transparent as a lot of other DAOs. But now we are quickly closing that distance, and I'm very happy to see that. Where I can be commenting on stuff like this, instead of spending time Google searching who people are and making connections and sometimes getting it wrong, like I did get a little bit of wrong of Sandow podcast, I think 30, Birth of the Sandbox DAO, where I did those episodes on there it is, 34 here, where I was trying to figure out what the relationship was between everyone. I wasn't necessarily guessing. I did a lot of research into all of these things, but I had to do a lot of research to do that. Whereas the DAO admin team could have just told me these things, could have just told us these things. So here I am stepping through the process of what I thought was happening. And I got some of it wrong, but I did get, I think, a lot of it right. That's the sort of transparency that I had to figure out for myself, just to understand what was going on. But Kunta and Cyril here, are doing that now. They are disclosing, revealing, and being transparent. And I love it. Absolutely love it.
Hopefully this new and increased level of transparency and communication from our team is appreciated by the community here. Like,
it is, Kunta. It is.
We are trying to, stepping back out of my rewind, back to what you were saying here. What these SIPs should be looking like is making clear improvements to the sandbox gaming ecosystem. So when we see that these SIPs are coming through consistently with high quality and better quantity, that quorum's consistently met, that the SIPs aren't extractive, that they're consistently making improvements to the sandbox gaming ecosystem, that DAO-centric ideas are being channeled through the DAO admin team so that we can make those effective and efficient changes. Those are the kinds of benchmarks that we're looking at for a progressive decentralization.
Yeah. And to the experiment piece, I mean, you know, Kaizen is dear to my heart, and the principle of, you know, iteration and experimentation. Yeah. Okay. And the fact that the DAO is in a legal, like, gray area, even though we've put, you know, a foundation wrapper around it and we're doing everything we can mm-hmm. to make sure this is, you know, as by the book as possible. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying last time, there's no school on how to build a DAO. So the best way to build the best possible DAO is to be able to experiment, fail, and learn from our mistakes. And as soon as we find something that works, we, you know, iterate upon it. For example.
That sounds a lot like a program manager, like a product manager would say. Make mistakes, fail fast, but do better and iterate on that so that you can succeed. Over and over again, that Kaizen spirit that I'm sure they'll say here in this episode later on. But ultimately, that legal gray area that he spoke on, I think that's referring to kind of the ways foundation companies in the Cayman Islands and regulation laws across all the different countries, regulatory agencies like the SEC or... There could be a lot of different things that they're referring to. So when I do my episode on the Constitution and on the Cayman Islands business law, I read all of their business law in the Cayman Islands to figure out what exactly a foundation company was, how it works. And that's an episode I'll be doing here in the future. But I think that's that legal gray area that Cyril here is talking about. And to me, I don't think it's a legal gray area. I just think it's an area where it doesn't have a lot of case law around it, as in people haven't been suing each other too much over this yet. They have a little bit, but that case law is really helpful where people judge disputes, and in those disputes, you create new laws and new rules to better the atmosphere. So it's not necessarily a gray area so much as it is an untested area. So... Like the United States sued a DAO in in California, I think it was. There was another DAO that just got sued by like a class action lawsuit by one of its members sued the DAO. So these things help bolster DAO regulations and laws so that people feel like it's less gray, which I think they're saying is it's like the Wild West where it's unproven or untested, and then more stable, like where you can make a business now in your country, wherever you live, and those business laws are much more concrete and real because it's been tested. It's proven itself, and it's resilient. So I think that's what they're talking about here. But I'm sure as they do more episodes, we'll find out.
One thing that I think not necessarily work today is our SIP budget categories. I don't think these are the best categories we could have. These are categories that we've designed on the back of our head, kind of replicate some of the categories we thought the community will gravitate towards, mm-hmm. or replicate the way the sandbox is organized as a company. But they don't necessarily work. So for 2025, there will be a new SIP that will be, you know, every year there will be a SIP about the budget, because every year the sandbox will be making a donation to the DAO. So as part of this new year...
I was surprised to hear him say that the SIP categories, and the categories he's talking about are under the dashboard. If you scroll down, you'll see here, SAN initiatives, live ops, game content, other operations, staking, sandbox for good, platform, NFT. So here's all the categories. And the new SIP process took some of these categories out from being able to propose. So like staking, you can't propose a SIP for staking anymore. You can't propose a SIP for, I think, live ops. And you can't do one for, I think, four of them. There's four of them you can't do anymore. But here they are. So he's saying that these categories, he doesn't think they work. And okay, I neither agree nor disagree on that. I think that they're fine, but he sees something there that isn't working.
There will be a new SIP that says these are the proposed category. And I want to do this a bit differently. I really want to involve the community too. So we're going to make a suggestions. This is what we think is best. But I really want to engage the community more. I think back to your first episode when we were talking about the launch of this DAO, mm-hmm. and how some of these things were rushed because we had it to start from somewhere. Right. Now that we've done it for the second iteration of budget, we're going to make a proposal, but we're really going to take the time to, you know, iterate with the community. You know, do you think this makes sense? Because some of these budget today are buckets that are reserved from the sandbox, for example, right? And like live ops or staking and whatever.
I actually did not know that. I did not know that live ops and staking were reserved for the sandbox. That makes a lot of sense. Now that I understand how things came down and the resistance I got in different stuff, different SIPs, I think now, yeah, I just didn't know any of this. If I had known that some of these were reserved, then I would have known not to select them in my SIP drafts that I sent to the DAO admin team.
This doesn't necessarily make sense for the community to have access to those categories because they cannot make a SIP that, you know, tap into those categories. So why having them in the first place? So we're trying to have all of those conversations.
That's a great question. And some of my frustration in not knowing why they took away those SIPs happened in episode 35 here, where I was trying to figure out, in the new SIP process, where was it? We were talking about the rules. There are categories. One of these, I go over the categories. I note that those categories are no longer accessible. They're somewhere around here. There you go. Missing 4 of 9 categories. So 52% of the budget was now ineligible here. And let's see if I can get to it.
The difference between disclosure of close family, spouse, appreciate some clarity. And so then we move along down the guidelines. Checklist item number 4. We're missing 4 of the 9 categories, which accounts to roughly 52%. So please clarify what's supposed to happen there, because it's not clear right now what's going on with those 4 categories. By the reading of the definition of things, I think that means we're no longer allowed to apply for the 4 that I mentioned earlier, which is over 52% of the budget. So that's a lot of SAN budget that's going away. So where does it go then?
So that was only a month ago. episode 35, and there just wasn't any clear explanation as to why they cut four of those nine categories that you used to be able to submit SIPs for. Now, episode 2, we have that answer, that they looks like some of them, if not all of those four, that they cut from being able to SIP for money, it seems like some of them were reserved only for the Sandbox Game company. Okay. Thank you for explaining that. I just wish we had known that sooner, and then I wouldn't have been so harsh in some of my criticisms.
Conversation and think about that stuff and think about the future as for our, you know, improvement and iteration process.
Yeah, that's great. You also went into some of the community concerns that we want to jump into on a future recording here. So just to give a little preview of what's ahead and a reminder of what we've said in episode one, some of the additional concerns that we want to wrap together into our next quick discussion for you is going to be the special counsel and advisory board, their selection, what their roles entail, how some of them are compensated, how just staking in general and how the staked lands and sand are, how we're making advancements towards including them in voting power or VP. What you already mentioned, the DAO operating in this legal gray area and what that landscape looks like, how we're navigating it, the language barrier that we're working to overcome and what that looks like both in our marketing of the DAO in general as well as in our internal communications like on the forum and stuff and how we're trying to overcome that because this is a global community to the fullest and you know, and what low participation looks like and how we can bring that back up and also how that's everybody's responsibility. If you're part of this DAO, if you hold sand, if you hold land, you're a member of this DAO. If you want to improve it, bring in those other sand and land holders that you chat with online and tell them that they can be part of this too. So that's on all of us to bring up participation.
It is, but until they see more, they being SandFam people, until they see more of the Sandbox DAO transparency and more of what you're doing right now, Kunta and Cyril, until they see more of that, I think a lot of people are still going to be skeptical to bring other people in. I'm bringing people in just because I'm bought in. I believe that we're going to end up in a good place, transparent and disclosure. I believe we will get more of this. I have every reason to believe now that Cyril is a force for good, and that the DAO admin team, that they're trying to do as best they can with the time and resources that they have, that they're trying to improve and iterate on success. And it's episodes like these that help me see that. So I have no problem bringing in other people, but a lot of people who have left the DAO, who have stopped caring about the DAO, they probably need a little bit more convincing. They need to see more of this before they risk their reputation with others to bring them back. Or just risk them feeling like they're wasting their time with something that doesn't really grant them a voice, which is what a lot of people said. And we saw that in episode one for Digging in the Sand that I responded back to in episode 50, a Sandow 50, that really showed the results that a lot of people were saying. A lot of people were saying things like, I didn't feel heard, I felt rushed, the SIPs felt rushed, and I don't think that my voice matters, and all sorts of things like that. Episodes like these that they're doing with Cyril and Kunta that is turning that around. That's really showing that DAO admin team does care. They are listening. So I really like that.
So those are some of the things we're going to lump into our next conversation. But where else do we go with this? We're tying together right now progressive decentralization, the SIP process, and the influence of the DAO admin team, and how everybody just wants money, which is something I can totally relate to, because I'll tell you what, I want money too. I was planning with my wife trying to think about how we're going to afford a vacation for, you know, in Q1, and it's always all about money. So how we manage that in a non-extractive way. We have reviewed some of the benchmarks that we want to look at. They're not formal benchmarks. They're not being recorded. There's no metrics anywhere. They're things that we're all going to sense, not just the admin team, but you guys. The community at large is going to sense all of these things as well. And we want your feedback. The quality and quantity of SIPs when there's less curation involved. Quorum is consistently being met. There's a framework in place that's functioning on how operations are carried out, which, you know, Cyril just admitted, you know, like we're learning as we go in some of these things too, but that framework needs to be in place. A self-governing community with inclusive, responsive, and responsible leaders that are stepping up. A non-extractive principle in our community. That's just where everybody sees that the SIPs being advanced aren't about just getting as much sand as you can. They're about making as much impact as you can, which means talking about value in the SIPs and how you're going to get the best deals. I'm thinking like financially, in a financially sound way, like business-minded. That's going to be important. That's part of self-sustainability. There's also been communication on the forums about how are we going to bring money back into the DAO? That's got to be something that's on the horizon too. So there needs to be channels, revenue streams opened up to bring some money back into the DAO for long-term sustainability. These are important benchmarks. There needs to be clear improvements out of all the SIPs for the Sandbox game. The game needs to be improved. We all know that the creators, the ambassadors, the players, the investors, everybody has pointed out where the improvements need to be made. Now it's part of the DAO's job to figure out what those are and to propose solutions to them.
To your point about platforms, also a challenge in itself, because I think this is like where we encourage people to make suggestions, because you know the players and the landowners and the creators is our community. But also we haven't figured out.
Glad I said that. The creators and the players are our community. For a while, I think a lot of people didn't feel like that was true. I think a lot of people felt like the DAO admin team didn't believe the creators and the players were its community, that they had just given themselves power and they were going to do this and that and just give the community something to do while the DAO admin team really ran the DAO. I think a lot of people felt that way. I think they still feel that way. Some people do. And where Kunta said it's our responsibility as well in SandFam to communicate with each other, to DAOing together. I agree with him that I think it is part of our responsibility to do that. And it's important that Kunta and Cyril continue to disclose and reveal their thoughts so that they can turn that negative cynicism and skepticism around.
Figure out a way, to be honest with you and the listeners, to really make it work with the sandbox. Like the sandbox already has a team of professionals that is working on the backlog, that is working on improving the game, that is doing all of those things. And when we come to them with our request that comes from the community, it feels like this is something, you know, parachuted on their desk. And they're like, what the hell do I do with this? Because I already have a job. I already have a backlog. I already have stakeholders breathing down my neck and telling me what to do. And I'm already struggling, you know, to negotiate with all of these different stakeholders, because in the eyes of these different stakeholders, their stuff is the priority number one. But I have to, you know, address those. And now the DAO is another stakeholder on top of it. So how do we make it work? You know, what's the best way?
I completely understand this. I'm a program manager and I have, I think, over 60 stakeholders, each one with a priority, each one believing that their priority is number one. And I completely understand how the sandbox team feels on this. And now we're adding the DAO, which is a bunch of community and sometimes can be seen as like a mob vote. And how do they integrate that? Well, I guess we're about to find out if my SIP number 16 makes quorum, it'll be entered into the sandbox team's backlog and we'll see how it gets treated then at that point. And it's a $0 SIP, so it's not going to take any resources except time and effort of the sandbox team's product team. So here Cyril's talking about how they seem to be getting pushback from the sandbox team about the DAO wanting to put things on the product team's backlog at the sandbox game company, which is a separate thing than the DAO. So product team has all these things that they have to do to do game maker, Vox edit, and the game client and the launcher. And then here comes the DAO saying, no, we want you to do window resizing, or no, we want you to put in an in-game filter. And kind of disrupt the product backlog and the flow for what the sandbox team, that product team is doing. I get that. I get why that there's a little bit of pushback there. The good news is that Seb has said many times where he wants the DAO to have a say in the game's backlog. So I have a feeling that it's going to go okay. We're going to find a way to compromise between us and them in the end, because Sir Seb, who's the co-founder and chief operating officer of the Sandbox Game Company, he, I think, is in alignment with what MySIP right now is doing for an in-game filter, where the community has said, oh my gosh, we want this. We really want this. And check out Sandow 51, so just the one I did a couple days ago, for a read-through of my SIP on that.
Did we have a placeholder in our backlog? Do we agree on some sort of SLA? All of these discussions,
I think SLA is like a service something agreement. I think. Yeah.
We're trying to figure this out behind the scenes. And there's no magic wand. There's no magic formula to do this. This is all like
service level agreement. A contract between, I'll just show you. Service level agreement is a contract between a service provider and a customer that defines the level of service to be provided how performance will be measured, and what will happen if the agreement is not met.
Trial and error for the moment.
Yeah, that's really awesome extra context to give everybody. You know, just putting these things in place. You know, you're talking about a billion-dollar plus company with employees across the globe, you know, amazing teams of engineers that are already doing really hard work. And we're dropping more work on them through the DAO. And hopefully...
No, that I completely understand that. And I think that's a fair, valid criticism. So I'd like to find a way for it to be both, for as long as Seb is willing to ask the product team to do that, and as long as willing as the community is to wisely do that, I think we're going to find a pretty good middle ground.
Like we just talked about, we just spent 20 minutes, half hour talking about how we want to drop even more work on them. So how is that going to be? Right. How's it going? Right. How's that going to function? So there are challenges on the back end of implementing all of this that aren't also just readily acknowledged or even visible to the community at large. So thanks for making that apparent as well. I think we really hit everything we want to talk about here. I don't want to drag this conversation on. We've said it. We've summarized it already. If anybody has any questions, thoughts, any ongoing concerns, you know, go back to episode one. I scrolled through all of the responses to the poll. You can hit pause on it, look at them yourself. You know, drop any comments, questions. We really want to be here. Everybody is heard. That was a common concern raised. You know, I think people's comments on that poll were coming from their experience months ago, but now it is almost December 2024, and you are heard. So you guys all know where to reach me. You know how to jump on the forums. We're here for you. So let's do this together. What more do we got? Any final comments, Cyril?
No, looking forward for episode three.
That's it. We're going to have one final more of these discussions here where we tackle those topics I told you guys about before. I'm reaching out to our delegates. We're going to do an episode with some short video clips from them that
highlights just launched today. So I'll do another reaction to that one.
And how they want to hear from you. And that's it. We're going to sign off here. Hope we get some good comments, more good conversation. Jump into the forums if you're not in there. Send your friends over to X, follow, engage, subscribe, like the YouTube channel. We're really grateful for everybody out there and excited to be doing this with you. So that's it. We're going to wrap it up. I love y'all, Sand fam. Keep coming back.
Cheers.
Keep digging in that sand.
Right on.
That's nice.
Keep digging in that sand, he says. Cool. That was a good episode. That's a good episode. I really like that. So, yeah. They talked about progressive decentralization, how everyone wants money. Cyril talked about the legal gray area. And then they went into the SIP budget categories and why they reduced it. They also talked about how the TSP has a backlog and the DAO is trying to contribute to that backlog, where I think that's a valid criticism. Seb said that he wants that to happen. So we'll find a middle ground there. And yeah, great episode. I didn't have any community questions that I haven't already answered. And I have no open topics I need to jump into. We're on episode number 52. And then episode number 53. I'm not sure yet which one that'll be, but hopefully it's another delegate interview. For Sandbox Spaces, be on Discord, be on Sandbox DAO forums, on Twitter. There's some hashtags here that you can look through. And then on YouTube, there's a Sandbox DAO page. There's also Lanzer YT, which is what you're listening to right now on the Sand DAO podcast, SandFam Cafe. On Mondays is Mochaverse Hall. On Saturdays is Bulls on the Block. Monday through Friday is Coffee with Captain. And on Tuesdays is Whale Members. See if there is someone to raid. Or is it just me? Oh. Well, it looks like there are a number of people on right now. Let's raid the Sandbox game. The actual Sandbox game. All right. Thank you all for your time. Today was a reaction to the official Sandbox DAO podcast called Digging in the Sand, episode 2. They talked a lot about progressive decentralization. I'm Lanzer, and yeah, keep digging in the sand. Thanks, SandFam.